Drop a line and catch some fresh fish. It's more of Go Fish with Mike Buck. Brought to you by POP Fishing and Marine at Pier 38 in Honolulu's Fishing Village. Right here on AM 690 KHNR.
Okay, so welcome back. Here's the deal. I've been telling you for days that we're going to get together with a couple of people that know a little bit more about Honolulu than we do. That's the turtle, the green sea turtle in particular. Although we do have some hawksbill here and some other stuff, some leatherbacks and all that. You know, today we're going to talk about the green sea turtle, and it's very much on everybody's mind. And we have a special guest who's been with us before. Asuka Ishizaki is the protected species coordinator for the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council, better known as the council, and also a regular contributor from the island of Molokai. Mac Poipoi is a sustenance fishing expert. He knows about this, and he also knows about traditional practices. So somehow, I guess, Asuka, we're lucky because we get to put the old and the new together. And it turns out, now that we've studied it for as long as we have, is the guys back in the old days, they had some pretty good ideas most of the time, didn't they?
Yeah, I think Mac can talk a lot more about that than I can.
Certainly we'll do that. But also, I think it's kind of important, and it's bring Mac in right away on this. Molokai Boy, is that I don't know about you, Mac, but ever since I became familiar with the council, I thought, you know what? At least these guys are listening. They do seem to want what we got from the bottom. Instead of being top down, it's bottom up. Do you feel that when you say something or when you give your manawa, that it's valuable to somebody?
Of course. I think the manawa that we share with everybody needs to be valuable, because after all, we all take part in whatever nature had to offer us.
Yeah, exactly. And particularly on that island, I think we could all learn a lot about the old days when you had the fishermen down on the beach and the taro guys midway up and the bird guys way up on the top. And the guy on the top didn't know how to catch fish. And the guy on the bottom didn't know how to grow a crop. So it kind of worked out. In some respects, is it still working that way on that island?
In a lot of respect, it is. Mm. We have people that farm, that just do farming. We have people that just do fishing. And we have people, just like me, we do all of the above.
Yeah.
And it's a really pretty neat lifestyle, because we get to share not only our goods, but get to share our knowledge and really get a feel of what is really happening out there in our environment and what's going on with nature.
Good. And to that point, gang, that's what we're going to zero in today. We're going to zero in on the turtle. Asuka, a lot of people, since the last we met and talked about your job as the, endangered species person or the threatened species person, there are a lot of people that were sitting on the edge of their seats hoping that the ban would be lifted and we could go back and catch some green sea turtles. You find out a lot of stuff, interestingly, along the way. That's not happening now. Not to say it's not going to happen in a bit, but we'll sort of explain what's happening now and how people can contribute. But let's talk a little bit about that valuable input that you get from guys like Mac and others in the hardcore studies that you need to do about these animals, particularly the turtles.
Yeah, I think especially with green turtles around Hawaii, we have a lot of areas that researchers can't get to.
Mm-hmm.
The eyes of the people who are in the community and out in the water are certainly valuable, probably not as valued as much as they should.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the research are conducted by folks like NOAA Fisheries and others who are in the academics, who are in the government. Mm-hmm. But really, the community should have a lot of input and a lot of, use their eyes and ears that are while they're out there.
What have we sort of learned in the last decade or so about our population of green sea turtles? Is it a migratory animal? Does it all come from the French frigate shoals? Do we have our local resident population? Is it something like the ahi?
Yeah, for the Hawaii's green turtles, most of them, we know that over 90% of them right now are nesting in French frigate shoals mm-hmm. in the northwestern Hawaiian Islands.
It's amazing how they can get from there to here.
Most of the turtles that you're seeing around here are probably nesting up in the northwesterns, with some exception. For example, on Molokai, there's quite a bit of nesting that happens every year as well.
Yeah, and Mac, on that subject, Is a lot of that, the turtle nesting on Molokai, is that on the North Shore?
Mostly on the North Shore, mainly on Cavallo Bay down at Moomomi.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of where I do my management.
Yeah, and that's a very, very special place, isn't it?
Very special. Yeah. It's, there's a lot of history down there that a lot of us don't know very much about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of my job, to expose a lot of, reveal a lot of this information to people that don't know.
You know, there was a time, and Osuka would be angry finding out this information, but there was a time when a lot of us from Oahu and Molokai used to catch turtle on the north shore of Molokai and then drive across the channel to Maui and sell them to the restaurants on Front Street, because every single restaurant had turtle soup, turtle steak, turtle tempura, and everything, and now none.
I remember those times.
Yeah,
I never participated in that.
Mm-hmm. But I must admit, I did.
I knew a lot of people that was doing that from Molokai, and also some people from Maui.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know too many people that came from Oahu doing that, but now that you telling me,
well, it was pretty easy. If we left Portlock on a Friday afternoon and took your time, and you get up to the North Shore and spend the night at Kalaupapa, and then go look for turtles that afternoon, drive them across the channel, you're staying in the Pioneer Hotel in Lahaina free because you have the turtle meat you sold. So there were a few people that did that, although it certainly was detrimental to the stock. Asuka now, I know that there was this desire to see sustenance anyway, or maybe even taking. What does it look like? I mean, population-wise, since the ban, since the kapu in the, what, late 70s?
Late 70s.
Hasn't this been pretty dramatic in the increase of turtles? Because I see them everywhere.
Absolutely. And I think, like you said, we see them everywhere now when, you know, several decades ago, people didn't really see them too much in the water. In the last almost four decades, ever since the turtles were protected, by the state first, the state had a regulation that went into effect in 1974, and then in 1978, the ESA, the Endangered Species Act, went into effect. From those times, the 70s, we've seen such a dramatic increase in the population. We started with what were probably 100 or so nesting females that were counted in the French frigate shoals. Now we have over 800 of them that mm-hmm. are counted every year, and that's only about half of the nesting population.
That's in French frigate shoals.
That's in French wow. frigate shoals only, and those are just the nesting females. Our senior scientists always say counting nesting females is like going into a maternity ward at a hospital and trying to figure out what's going on with the population. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't give you all the, you know, the numbers and everything, but it's a good indicator of how the population is doing, and it's healthy, it's increasing, and we're definitely seeing a lot of them around here as well.
You know, Mac, I remember on the island of Kauai when they started talking to the football players and some of the schools and some of the homes that had lights, you know, that were a problem to different things, and a lot of that was turtles. I mean, a lot of these were that. Now, on the North Shore, do you know of specific places where nesting is going on and it's not disturbed?
Right at Moomomi.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say not disturbed, because people use the area for fishing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty pristine, where you can go down there today and you can see the increasing numbers as far as the nesting turtles are concerned.
Aren't some people, Mac, and I need Asuka on this too, but aren't some people a little bit angry at that, because they're saying there's so much turtles now that they're starting to affect some of the other things that we need? So we got to start looking at taking some of these turtles just for the rest of the environment. Do you think that's what some people think?
Of course. Mm. And for Molokai, we've been eating a turtle all along, and all of a sudden we had to stop, and it's kind of not the way we want to live on Molokai.
Yeah. I think, Asuka, that reflects what we're going to see on other islands. But isn't that a great study, what used to happen there and what doesn't? Because I know it still goes on. As a matter of fact, it was ironic that we had scheduled this discussion where Mac and Asuka and I could tape a segment of our fish program. And this is the day after the discovery at Maili on Oahu, the two turtles. And I know that, you know, everybody in your business, Asuka, takes that kind of personally. This is a terrible thing, isn't it?
Sure, but at the same time, you have to remember that, you know, we've had this population that's increasing for over several decades now, and a lot of these threats to turtles have always been there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always been some turtles that die either from, you know, human causes or otherwise, and even with those included, we've had a population that's increased dramatically at a pace that nobody ever expected. Scientists have found that some places in the foraging areas, turtles are looking to be quite poor condition, health condition-wise, which probably means that in some foraging areas, probably not all, but some foraging areas, we've definitely
They've taken the food capacity.
Yeah, yeah. There's also a study that that was done several years ago where scientists did some modeling, so just looking at the numbers and looked at the increase in the population and then did what's called a simulation to try to take out some of those turtles, assuming that there were harvests that could go on, and see how much they could take. And there was quite a bit of, you know, biomass that you could remove from the existing population before it started to really affect it.
Isn't that
a very viable population?
Wasn't some of that sort of delineated at the Fishers Forum with the stock assessments? Because if you take a look at this stuff, it's amazing how these young kids and these computers can figure this stuff out for us, isn't it? It really is.
So yeah. It's a lot of that modeling. There's a lot of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. There's assumptions that you make and assumptions that you forget about. But it's one way to figure out what might happen when you put some pressure on the population.
Okay, well, let's cut to the chase. Right now, there's a request by Hawaiian Civic Clubs and others to take a look at this thing and certainly resume in the take in some fashion, and maybe Mac, we can get your Manao on that a little bit, because your island is a great example of this. I'm not saying that everybody's going to go out and take 10 turtles a day, but certainly there must be some way. What does the Hawaiian community feel about some way of being able to do it? It's sort of a right, and if the population is there, what's to stop us from being able to eat turtle again?
I think the laws are a little bit too harsh for one thing. And I think the studies that have been done, it's not very accurate. You might want to consider getting together with the fishermen like me.
Mm-hmm.
And all the fishermen that do, you know, fishing on Molokai, because what we observe, and I'm not trying to make up no story here, that the turtle population is very high.
Yeah, I believe that. Look, I'm not there anywhere near as often as you are, but I have been pleasantly surprised, even in Mauna Bay, where I come from, going out that channel where we call it turtles, is because that's turtles, a lot of them.
Yeah, and most people on Molokai would rather see the turtle be delisted, just so we don't be criminals in our own place. And I think that studies that the scientists are doing, it's good, you know? But there's a lot that need to be done and a lot that need to be incorporated into a management plan that can work. And I believe we do have a plan that can work. And already put together some stuff for that.
Okay, well, let's take a look, Asuka, at the study that was done that would have indicated scientifically that there's reason to take a look at some of this. I know that that it's certainly not a done decision. But this proposed decision is talking about a DPS. What is a DPS, for those who don't know?
So a DPS is a policy term under the Endangered Species Act if you have a distinct and significant population, you can call it a DPS, and you can manage that separately from the rest of the population.
Right.
And so,
in other words, is area specific?
It is. Mm-hmm. It's mostly usually delineated by geographic location.
Right.
And so in the petition that was submitted by the Association of Hawaiian Civic Clubs, what their first step of the request was, please designate the Hawaii population as its own distinct population segment.
Standalone population.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
The second part of their request was asking for the delisting of the Hawaii DPS. So the response that just came out, the proposed rule that was announced a couple of weeks ago, almost a couple of weeks ago now, they're actually saying the decision that was done, it came out of the NOAA Fisheries and the Fish and Wildlife Service. It's a joint decision. And they said, yes, the Hawaii population is actually a DPS. It's a distinct population segment. So they agree with that part of the petition. What they don't agree with is the part of the delisting. So they're saying that delisting right now is not warranted.
Yeah, and that I know comes as a major disappointment, Mac, to a lot of people that were worried about this. And I know there are some suggestions. And I a couple of weeks ago when this came up with another story that we were doing, this one guy was saying it's just like Waikiki. You know, they put the no fish in Waikiki for 1 year. And guess what? Next year, they come back with plenty of fish. But unfortunately, the day the no fish goes down, boom, the fish are all gone because people are pretty good at catching. Would there be, in your opinion, on your island, and maybe we could use this as a test and an example for everybody else, would there be an unwritten rule where people would be responsible and not just start taking every turtle they could, but to be smart about it? Would there be a way for a community to do that?
There is a way. And under the Aumoku system that we have on Molokai, we can do that very efficiently. And the key to all this is proper management.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. We learn from our mistakes, and we know how to deal with the problem a little bit better than what we've done in the past. And on Molokai, the Ahamoku or the Ahakioli system is operating well, and I think that is the way to go.
Yeah, with let's caveat here and make sure people understand, with a very limited amount of participation from outside of the population. I mean, if all of a sudden people from Maui or Lanai or Oahu go over to Molokai to get their turtle, that could have an effect.
I think we better stick to our own island, because Molokai, we're very protective of our resources. And I don't want to get too deep into that. But, if we sow what we plant, reap what we sow, then we need to keep that in mind, that you don't go to somebody else's garden and pick what they planted.
Okay, now, Asuka, I know that this is a much separate issue that deserves its own platform, and we'll have it. But when it comes to this, would studies specifically show, if it were to be delisted, at what take total allowable catch there might be in order to continue this resident population at its current numbers?
The study I mentioned earlier, where they did some simulations, looks into that. But I think ultimately there needs to be a management plan that gets developed, and at that level, it needs to be decided at what sort of harvest level would be appropriate if there's going to be harvest, and then what mechanism would be used to be able to do that.
Who are the stakeholders that would have to sign on? I know that NOAA plays a role. I know that fisheries plays a role. Who would have to sign off on this, saying, okay, we're going to go for a limited take in a trial area to see if it can sustain its population?
Probably the most important player would be, from a jurisdiction standpoint, it would be State of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Because natural resources...
DLNR, right?
DLNR. Yeah, and... So they would really have to take that step of creating the management plan. But ultimately, communities really have to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
There could be different management that occurs on different islands. And so everybody has to be involved in the end. But right now, with this NOAA Fisheries and Fish and Wildlife Service's proposed decision to say that they're not going to delist at this time, it's kind of up in the air as to whether this discussion will happen.
See, my concern is that the decision has been made, and so no matter where you meet, there's going to be a lot of pretty antagonistic or angry people that were expecting this. In other words, you can't tease people for a long time and say we're going to do this and then not do it. So what do you think was the straw that broke the camel's back? What would be the final scientific reason why they decided not to delist?
So they say in their decision that for one thing, they looked at the number of population like we're talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
the numbers increasing. They looked at that same information and said there's actually 0% chance that the population's going to decline in any substantial amount in the next 100 years. So by looking at just the numbers of the nest, they say there's 0% chance that they're going to become extinct. But then they started looking at all the threats and things of that sort, and they said two main things. One is that the nesting in Hawaii is relatively narrow.
Mm-hmm.
The main nesting areas in French Frigate Shoals, 96% of the nesting occurs there. So they're saying it's like having all the eggs in one basket.
Sure.
So the big concern, that a threat.
Asuka, the big thing would be, and I don't know if we've ever talked about this, I don't think so, is that we're doing our thing over here. But what happens over there is pretty environmentally important to our fishery.
Exactly.
And to these turtles. If something happens there outside of our control, no turtles.
Right. And so what they're saying is, so the population's all over there, the nesting population, and with the climate change and potential sea level rise, they're saying that there could be one catastrophic event that could wipe out the French Frigate Shoal's nesting area, and then what happens?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of uncertainty, and so ultimately they use that as a justification not to delist.
Okay, so Mac and the boys on Molokai would say, all right, if that happens in French Frigate Shoals, come over here. Come to Momomi Beach. We'll take care of you. You know, so therefore, Mac, I know this is probably maybe for some going to be a pretty bitter pill to swallow. So what I want to make sure that people understand is this fact-finding mission that's going on in these meetings, how important it is to use decorum, to come there with an open mind, and to really share instead of, like, the last, sometimes there are a couple where people from the mainland, they get yelled at, and pretty soon they think, oh, geez, these people, we're not going to get any communication from them. How important is it for everybody, and for, I know we have a separate issue about island and island, but just on this turtle subject, how important is it to have people like yourself and others attend these meetings and voice their concerns?
We all need to attend the meetings to voice our concerns. But I think the people that run in these meetings need to understand that they need to respect the communities. Manao, a lot of times they hear us, but nothing is done about it. They already got their minds made up. So for me, I would rather see management be handed to the people, where we can determine what we want to do with the turtle population and how we harvest and how we manage, because the key is really the management. A lot of times, the people on outside islands, they forget that they destroyed a lot of the habitat for the turtle. So maybe that's probably the biggest reason why we don't have that many turtles anymore. On Molokai, we never see too many changes with the population.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the same, regardless of all that turtle that they harvested during the 70s, the early 70s, the 60s, for sale on Maui, the turtle population jumped right back, and we have too much turtles.
Yeah, and you know, that being said, Asuka, I do know that the way that you gather information now and take readings, that it would be pretty easy if there is going to be a decision made where we can try this in some place. Wouldn't it be easy to sort of monitor it if it was going to be tried down the road? Isn't that the ideal situation, that somewhere we do try it to see if this science is correct, that it suggests that we can keep the population and take some turtles?
That would be one way to go. Right now, the law wouldn't allow doing something like that, unfortunately. And so that's, you know, what people need to start voicing their opinion on. If you disagree with the decision that, you know, the NORA fisheries come up with, or agree with it, you have to start voicing those opinions. Now's the time to start those discussions.
Okay, we know that we have a fragile thing with regards to the breeding, and we know how tenuous that can be. But we also know that we have a lot of turtles. So somewhere in the middle is the right answer. Let's talk about what's happening. I do know that now, between now, when people are listening now here in early April, that we have until the third week of June. There's going to be, what's going on where people can find out? First of all, I hope WPCouncil.org has got a place where they can go look. But let's talk about this. What are these meetings? When are they going to be? And what should people bring to the party?
Yeah, so we definitely have information on our website, wpcouncil.org, as Mike mentioned. The main thing that's happening next week is there's going to be a public hearing on Oahu on the 8th, Wednesday, from 6 to 8 p.m.
Okay.
They're going to be doing a presentation on the decision, and then they're going to be taking public testimony. So this is an opportunity for people to come and voice their opinions and give comment. If you don't want to write down your comment, this is the official opportunity to do that. Right now, they only have a hearing that's scheduled on Oahu. It sounds like if there's going to be, if people request them from the other islands, they might also consider doing hearings.
Yeah, and I do hope, those that are listening, I do hope that you all look at maybe what we can learn by certain places. We know that, Mac, and I know that you've probably taken an equal look at what's going on the island of Niihau with regards to home rule and home management. That there is some suggestion that within specific species like this one, maybe that is the trial. Do you think the people on Molokai would agree to some sort of a trial where this could be looked at scientifically and would be willing to share what they are taking and where they're getting them?
Of course the people would agree.
Yeah.
Food is important to us, mm-hmm. and that's part of our food source, the turtle. And excuse me. To delist a turtle would be a lot of happy people on Molokai.
Well, you know, I can tell you one thing. I agree with you on that. And Asuka, I do know that a lot of people on other neighbor islands and even on this island, they're tired of feeling like criminals. And yet they can't break a tradition, or they can't break a habit, or they can't, you know, and if they see they're out there. I know guys that lay now that is so restricted on when you can put your lay nets in the water, that they'll get turtles, interact with turtles all the time. And they'll think, wow, there's a lot of meat there, but they got to let them go or face the consequences. So once again, let's make sure that this week's meeting is about what?
It's the public hearing, so yep. It's an opportunity to provide testimony.
Okay. And it doesn't have to be in written form. They can come and speak?
Yes, they can speak, and then they will listen and take those comments and record it. So that's right now, that's the only opportunity that's provided to give testimony in person.
I know in so many other things, we count on a few people. In this case, it's going to be Mac and some others, but there are so few that actually respond to these things that sometimes the governing bodies think, well, nobody cares. And we have that saying that came along during the last elections, right? No vote, no grumble. If you don't come to these things every now and again and voice your concerns, we're all at a loss. So give me, when is the meeting going to be?
It's April 8th,
yep.
Wednesday next week, 6 to 8 p.m. And they say that the doors will open at 5:30 p.m. to have an information
the
open house.
The doors are where?
It's going to be at the Japanese Cultural Center,
yep.
On Oahu in Honolulu. And then they'll do a presentation and they'll do testimony.
Okay, and it's expected to be a couple hours.
Yes.
And the takeaway is, where does the testimony going to end up?
They'll be taken by NOAA Fisheries and Fish and Wildlife Service, who's going to be making the decision.
Yeah, and even though this is a let's make sure that people understand. You said earlier, and Mac and I both buy into this, it's a DLNR deal. But the DLNR, although it's a tough, strong body at the state level, they get trumped by the feds with regards to, you know, an endangered or protected species.
Right now they do. As long as they're protected under the ESA, the federal government has a lot of authority over them. That's not to say that there's not collaboration going on, but certainly until delisting occurs, then state really doesn't have the full authority over those turtles.
Yeah, and that's in some respects, Mac, where I want to end up here. That the more information we give at these meetings, the more likely that the feds are going to be given a better picture of what our fishery is like, so that they will say, all right, well, look, in the case of this species in your place, we'll allow the state to make the decision on delisting or managing. I'm thinking that the Hawaiian community might probably think that's a step in the right direction.
It is. I think the state need to listen to the people, though. A lot of times they tend to swerve away from what we actually want to do. And we need to stay focused on this issue.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I want to thank you for flying in from the island of Molokai to join us today, Mac. Appreciate it. And Asuka, always a pleasure. Let's make sure people know one more time. This is they can go to wpcouncil.org. And where will they click to find out about this meeting?
You go to the news part of the website, and you'll find some information there, and you can link through there.
And by the way, fishermen and people who love fish, make that site a something that you check off, and I love it. Okay, we'll be back in next time. Meantime, if you want to hear something on the show, you know what to do. Drop me a line, themikebuckshow@aol.com. themikebuckshow@aol.com. And remember, that meeting is going to be on Wednesday night from 6 to 8 at the Japanese Cultural Center. And if you want to talk about this honu, this green sea turtle, now's your chance. So go to wpcouncil.org and check it out. Our thanks to Pacific Ocean Producers and the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council. You guys have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you on Wednesday at the Japanese Cultural Center. Aloha.